This is Building Bridges with Kanesh and Mimi Rosenberg.
As ICE raids nearly 100 7-Eleven stores in pre-dawn nationwide sweep, California unions resisted Trump's anti-immigrant actions. We begin with a demonstration where Los Angeles immigrant rights activists blocked a Homeland Security van.
I'm not here to make you see and recognize me as a person. I am a person. I am in this country, and we are staying here. I'm done negotiating with these people. I'm done negotiating for the sake of the humanity of myself or any other person.
My name is Michelle, and I'm an organizer with RefuseFascism.org, and I'm standing here with everyone today because everyone being out here in the streets today is righteous. It is important that in the face of these raids, that in the face of these attacks against immigrant people, we did not stay silent. We came out into the streets and we spoke up. Because look, this regime that is in power right now is fascist and it is illegitimate. And what they are doing right now is ethnic cleansing. It is not too extreme to call it ethnic cleansing. It is not too extreme to call it fascism. If we stay silent in the face of these attacks, this is going to open up a pathway for these people to go after more and more people until they consolidate power. And it looks like Nazi Germany again, where people were silent and to the side, while people all around us were falling, when their bodies were dropping all around them, when they were being shipped away in chains. We are not going to allow that to happen to immigrant people. We are not going to allow that to happen to Muslim people. We are not going to allow that to happen to any people.
Raids nearly 100 7-Eleven stores in pre-dawn nationwide sweeps. California unions resist Trump's anti-immigrant actions. With us to talk about the work of the California unions is Rusty Hicks, president of the Los Angeles County Federation of Labor. It's nice to have you with us.
Hi, Mimi. How are you?
Angry.
That makes two of us.
Well, I have to tell you before Ken is poised and ready to ask you something. One of the horrifying experiences of my life when I was a child was in New York, actually in Brooklyn, in Junior's Restaurant, which is a huge famous restaurant. And in Lundy's, which was a huge seafood restaurant, was sitting there and eating. And all of a sudden, people came running out of the kitchen through the swinging doors. And I was told that ICE at that time, the immigration authorities, were there to try to pick up the people who worked in the kitchen. And it was one of the more terrifying, irrational, horrible experiences I've ever experienced. And to be in a situation now where these 7-Eleven convenience stores are raided is just unconscionable, unforgivable, and and quite terrifying and reminiscent to me of, what can I say? It's reminiscent of a really, I would, can't help but say, a really a fascistic response to working class people who are the ones who create the wealth of this country.
Well, luckily, California has been militant on these issues, and it's not only a sanctuary city that I'm talking to, Los Angeles, but you're in a sanctuary state. And I know that there's been protests about the most recent ICE raids in the 7-Elevens in the Los Angeles area. And if we could start with that and then move on to how this might be a new tactic or a ramped-up tactic in the Trump administration, a pressure of measures.
Well, first, let me just say, Ken and Mimi, it's good to be with you today to share ideas with both you and your listeners about what's going on here in Los Angeles. As you well know, in Los Angeles and California, we have been on the forefront of both, in some ways, certainly the good, but also the bad when it comes to this issue. California was the state of Prop 187 some 20-plus years ago, and the labor movement and the progressive community movement have responded in a strong and steadfast way over the past two decades. And so it is really in that spirit that you see the response to ICE's actions to target on a nationwide basis a very common community convenience store that many frequent, both citizen and non-citizen alike. And so, you know, it was certainly something that when we got word that ICE had informed the owner of a particular 7-Eleven here in Koreatown, a community within Los Angeles, that they had plans to return, many in the labor and progressive communities said, well, we're going to be there to greet you when and if you come back. And so you saw more than 50 community advocates, from immigrant advocates to civil rights to human rights, immigration attorneys, labor leaders and rank-and-file members, along with faith leaders, arrived at 7 in the morning and continued to monitor that facility for the early part of the morning until we learned that ICE had been communicated with the store owner that they would not be visiting the location with so many members of the community there. And so it proves that we can resist, that we can fight back, and we can protect members of our community. And we have done that and will continue to do that.
When I was in the International Ladies Garment Workers Union, most of its, the bulk of its members were immigrants in New York in the Sportswear Joint Board, where I was located as a director of organizing. And the work of organized labor at a time when there was also enormous right reaction to the immigrant workforce, to undocumented workers, was formidable. The unions held, that union held firm and was a staunch ally. I wonder if you can talk about the other things that are being done by organized labor to support the undocumented worker part of the workforce in California.
Well, I would probably give three or four different examples of what the labor movement is doing to stand up and step forward for immigrant workers and their families. I think the first is a active and engaged participant in the Rapid Raids Response Network. This is a coalition that has been in place for more than 8 years, that is comprised of both organizations and individuals across the labor and progressive communities that focus on immediate responses to immigration, you know, civil immigration enforcement. And so part of that, what you saw at 7-Eleven, the 7-Eleven here in Los Angeles last week, comes out of the Rapid Raids Response Network. And so I think first and foremost is to provide immigrants and their families with referrals and services that they might need when they need them the most. I think second is Labor has been an active participant in pushing for good progressive policies at both the state and the local levels. I don't know if we will have the opportunity to talk about those later in our conversation, but you know, to ensure that we protect immigrant workers both at the state level, but also at the local level, to ensure that local law enforcement agencies are not used as an extension of federal immigration enforcement procedures and practices. And so from the California Values Act to AB 450, it helped put in place some of those important provisions, to Special Order 40, which is a policy we have here in Los Angeles that was a groundbreaking policy nearly 40 years ago, has been updated over the past month or so to even make what we saw on the state level even stronger here in Los Angeles. I think two other examples are in contracts, union contracts that are being negotiated and bargained are now, you know, more than ever, including strong provisions that protect workers, whatever their legal status might be. And lastly, is trying to find good quality jobs for residents, whether they be citizens or not have legal status. And so the labor movement is stepping forward, standing shoulder to shoulder with our community allies to protect all workers, whether they have legal status or not.
Because of the fact that California is a sanctuary state, and because of a new law in January which protects workers from workplace raids, it seems as if California has been singled out by ICE for future raids. What do you think is going to be happening at that point, and what kind of resistance will be put up?
Well, I would argue that on November 9th, everyone in California, whether you were an immigrant rights activist or a leader on LGBTQ issues or the environment, I think everyone understood that California was going to be a target of the new administration. And so there has been a preparation for those attacks that might come our way. And I think you've seen over the course of the last 12 months the resolve of Californians be strengthened in the face of both threats and actions of the administration. I don't see in any way, shape, or form us wavering from that commitment, not just to the immigrant community, but really to all members of our community and our society. And so, you know, the expectation is that, you know, when you defy the federal government, it is likely that you, you know, will certainly garner their attention. But you know, California is not a small entity to be pushed to the side. I mean, if we were judged on the world stage, we'd be the, you know, fifth, sixth, or seventh, depending on how you counted it, largest economy in the world, with 40 million people. And so, you know, we are operating in such a way to protect each and every Californian. And so, as I started by saying, I don't see that resolve being shaken. And in fact, with the more than 500,000 people that were on the streets on Saturday here in Los Angeles, the largest women's march in the country. I only believe that even more.
We're speaking with Rusty Hicks, president of the Los Angeles County Federation of Labor. Rusty, one of the things that you mentioned earlier, you said you wanted an opportunity, and this is it, to speak about it. Talk about some of the other protections and initiatives that are in place in the state and city levels to walk hand in hand with our immigrant sisters and brothers. It's almost peculiar to use that designation, immigrant, when, of course, aside from slave labor and the indigenous population, we are all immigrants. But what kind of things have been put in place? And hopefully New York can take some lessons from our sisters out on the other coast.
Absolutely. Well, certainly on the state level, I think there were two pieces of legislation that were passed and signed by the governor in 2017 that really provide two examples. First was the California Values Act, which was passed by Pro Tem Kevin De Leon, which essentially provides a series of restrictions on the role of local law enforcement agencies, the role that they can play in civilian immigration enforcement. I think we all recognize that while the administration might want to, quote, round up every member of the immigrant community, there's no way in which they could do that with the agents that they have to round up 11 million people, 11 plus million people. And so they need to rely on local law enforcement in order to do that. Well, at the state level, we put in place pretty strong provisions that prevent local law enforcement agencies from being essentially deputized by federal agencies to support those efforts. That was really focused around local law enforcement agencies and worked in parallel with Assembly Bill 450, which was passed by, carried by Assemblymember Chu out of San Francisco, which attempted to really protect immigrant workers on the job. And it would essentially require ICE to provide a judicial warrant to access non-public areas of the job site. Now, the key provision here is judicial warrant. There are two types of warrants that are at play in this area of law. There's an administrative warrant and a judicial warrant. An administrative warrant essentially is someone down at the ICE office saying, we want to go and talk to this particular individual. They provide a signature, and off the agents go. A judicial warrant requires them to go and seek a signature from a judge, which obviously isn't a perfect system, but at least there's another check on just indiscriminate warrants where they would just say, we want to grab this individual or that individual. And would also require a subpoena in the case that they wanted to access documents at a particular workplace within a particular employer. Series of provision that would provide the labor commissioner the ability to enforce those provisions. And I think as recent as a week ago, our attorney general, Javier Becerra, actually came out and said that he would fine employers up to $10,000 for each instance in which they, an employer, would collaborate with a federal agency without having a judicial warrant. So made it very clear to employers, local law enforcement agencies are not going to be deputized by federal agencies to conduct immigration enforcement, and neither are employers in California. And if you do, there will be penalties associated with that. The last provision I would outline for your listeners would be Special Order 40 here in the city of Los Angeles, which some 37, 38 years ago was a groundbreaking policy that made clear the role that the LAPD, the Los Angeles Police Department, would play in immigration enforcement. Clearly, fast forward nearly four decades, and the administration that we are dealing with, it really required some updating. And so, you know, it's simple things like ensuring that place of birth is not requested by police officers when conducting an investigation, to ensure that ICE does not have access, unlawful access, to our jails. Those are two examples of the provisions that were put in place with the updated Special Order 40. And so, you know, I think California and Los Angeles in particular, the leaders here in California and Los Angeles should be commended for stepping forward and saying that they won't stand by the immigrant community, and then following through to do that both in policy and in practice.
And can we give you one more minute, literally, TPS, the deportation scheduled for Haitians and Salvadorians, and DACA? Yes. What are your thoughts on that? You've got 1 minute, and I know you can do it.
So DACA is obviously a big priority, particularly of interest here in Los Angeles. We're hoping to see a clean Dream Act bill passed at some point soon. TPS, particularly for Salvadorians, will have a severe impact here in Los Angeles, a large Salvadorian community. I mean, it is temporary protective status, but has been in place for some of these populations more than 20 years. And the countries from which these individuals came has not recovered from the reasons for which they came here. And therefore, we made a commitment to these individuals to come to the United States, and we would protect them. We would support them. We would help them. It's time for us to truly honor our commitment by addressing TPS for these individuals.
Rusty Hicks, I want to thank you for the work that you're doing as president of the Los Angeles County Federation of Labor, and support that is being given to all workers, and that's what we are. We're workers across all borders struggling to enhance our lives and to better the society and to create all the wealth and what's good about this world. That's what the working class does. Thanks so much for taking the time to be with us.
California's top cop is laying out the rules concerning what employers can and cannot do if ICE shows up at their door. KPIX5's Melissa Kane on how plans for a major sweep could put businesses in legal jeopardy. Melissa?
Yeah, Alan, we know the Bay Area is bracing for immigration raids, and that's based on reports that Immigration and Customs Enforcement, or ICE, is gearing up to arrest more than 1,500 undocumented people in Northern California. And now, caught between federal law and state law, are California employers.
California better hold on tight. They're about to see a lot more special agents, a lot more deportation officers in the state of California. If the politicians in California don't want to protect their communities, then ICE will.
Acting ICE Director Tom Homan has said that California is going to see more immigration raids. And because California law enforcement cannot cooperate with ICE, the feds are going to go wherever they have to.
What they've done is force my officers to arrest dangerous criminals on their turf, in their homes, in their place of business, rather than arresting them in the safety and security of a county jail. It's ridiculous.
For employers, the threat of raids has a new downside.
We'll prosecute those who violate the law.
State Attorney General Javier Becerra called a press conference today to remind everyone about a new state law that says employers cannot cooperate with ICE agents unless the agents have a warrant issued by a judge.
And if you do so in violation of this new law, you are subjecting yourself to fines up to $10,000 for violations of this new law.
Albacera admitted that employers may not be aware of the new law, but said they'll be prosecuted anyway.
Ignorance of the law is no excuse if you violate it.
When the law was being debated in the legislature, employer groups complained that demanding a warrant would anger the ICE agents, and that could turn a small matter into a large investigation. They also said that the bill leaves the employers to figure out what to do when ICE agents show up.
This bill does not provide guidance to employers. It provides a strict mandate upon them.
Becerra said that the state is working to create specific guidelines to help employers facing an ICE raid. Like what happened last week when ICE agents showed up at this Santa Rosa 7-Eleven and at 7-Elevens across the country. According to Acting Director Homan, though, it's just a matter of time before there are more raids at workplaces.
We think ICE is going away. We're not. There's no sanctuary from federal law enforcement.
Now, Becerra says that the California Department of Justice does work with ICE on cases involving things like drug trafficking and human trafficking. So he said he plans to call them up and see if they will tell him what we can expect. But with such serious restrictions on what information the state can give to ICE, it's unclear whether ICE will be eager to give information to the state. Melissa Kane, KPIX 5.
Acting San Francisco Mayor London Breed says that she'd be willing to go to jail over the sanctuary city policy.
When you grow up in the projects, you spend your whole life trying to avoid going to jail, but this is one of the issues that I wouldn't mind basically going to jail for the first time in my life over.
Oakland Mayor Libby Schaff echoed that statement yesterday in an exchange with KPIX5's Phil Mateer.
Let me be clear that cities that have sanctuary status are engaging in their legal right.
So you're ready to go to jail over this?
Yes.
Mayor Schaff stressed that Oakland police won't help ICE officials or agents if they conduct raids in her city.
This has been Building Bridges, your community and labor report with Mimi Rosenberg.
And Ken Nash. And log on to our website at www.buildingbridgesradio.org.